finally looking in the mirror and seeing that me I love. I'm getting back to the girl I was.
Ag Talk, Your Story Matters, is America's platform for women in agriculture to share their thoughts, ideas, and stories. This is a safe space for everyone in agriculture, no matter what their role is, to come together and have real and raw conversations. We feature our Ag Women Connect members, guest speakers, and current topics across the nation that affect our agriculture industry. Our goal is to include others into our discussions, and we invite you to be a part of our conversation every week. Join us.
Hi, y'all. I'm Vanessa Wood, founder of Ag Women Connect and host of Ag Talk, Your Story Matters. Today, I'm so excited to be sitting down with Miss Whitney Trammell. She is from Canyon, Amarillo, Texas, and they own their farm, Tier Bluen, and also Panhandle Processing Meat Company. So I want to know about all the things, Whitney, but first, a little bit about you, your background, and where you came from.
Hey, Vanessa. Yeah, so I'm Whitney Trammell, and I'm originally from Plainview, Texas, which is just an hour south of here, so not too far away. I didn't really grow up in the ag industry. I would say I'm more like ag adjacent. Ag was always like in my life, but we weren't farmers or ranchers. My dad works for a seed company, and then my mom was a teacher, and I just grew up around ag. I had a lot of friends that were in ag. I did show animals for 1 year, but I had that experience. And I went to WT in 2010, and I graduated with my education degree. And so I taught school for 6 years. I taught third grade, and then I taught second grade for Canyon ISD. So that's just kind of about me, but my husband and I got married in 2014. I was about to start teaching school, and he has grown up in the ag industry, not so much farming industry, but more of the ranch. He helped his dad and his grandpa run livestock auctions. He's been on horseback forever. He's a wildlife biologist, and he loves the ranch industry, the cattle, the animals. But he also loves and is very passionate about the ecosystem in which they live in, the soil health. He's a big believer in there's nothing known as weeds. Everything works together, and everything connects to each other to survive and to thrive. And really, it's that word thrive. Like, how can we help everything thrive? Because everything has a purpose. So he got involved with, it's called the Oglala Commons. It's a nonprofit organization that helps revitalize rural communities. He didn't really know what he wanted to do, so he started some internships with them and kind of got into local food and how local food is important to build up communities, and how he can use his biology degree and what he knows about cattle and animals together. So we got married in 2014, and I started teaching. And we started with about 100 chickens or so. He said, I want to raise chickens, and I want to start processing their meat and selling their meat to our community. And I said, okay, well, let's do it then. So we started off with chickens, and we're on his parents' land, which is about 11 acres, but we kind of took over around 4-ish of it. So we sat in Chick-fil-A one day and got on Google Translate to see what would translate like chickens or feathers into kind of like a Welsh name. So that's how Tier Bluen came about. Tier Bluen means featherland in Welsh. So no longer are we just a featherland. We now have pork and lamb that we run, but we'll always stay Tier Bluen. It's a really special name to us. It has a lot of family connections, and the name itself has a lot of history in it. So
I love that. And I think it's so important to involve and talk about that history just to keep it going, because it's, I don't know, I guess I'm just a sentimental person, you know, but family history, I think, is a huge thing. And that's really neat how y'all incorporated that into your farm. I also love that. So Whitney and I are from the same hometown. We're from Plainview, Texas. So shout out to Plainview, Texas. We share many friends. And that's what's so crazy is like, I didn't know Whitney before. I knew of her family, but I didn't actually know her until we met together through Ag Women Connect. And we could talk about that here in a little bit. But I can see just from what you told me, Whitney, like God was definitely orchestrating everything. It looks like that y'all stepped out into faith. And I think our stories are a little bit similar because I can just see where you came up with this brilliant idea with your husband. You didn't really know how it was going to work, but you put one foot in front of the other and you just started doing it, right?
So much of it, it's blind faith. And I'll be real honest, a lot of it still is blind faith. I just have to have faith it's going to work. In order to sell chicken meat and not just a live bird, you have to have a processing facility for it. The closest processing facility for chicken processors, I think it was like over 8 hours away. And that wasn't going to work for us. There was no way the money would work if we were having to travel that far to get things processed. We actually got married in May of 2014. I started teaching that August. And a week into teaching, we got hit by a tornado at our house.
How do I not know about this?
I know. We actually live in an A-frame. So it's a triangle house. So essentially, this tornado came and it picked up our entire house and moved it 3 feet to the south. So we weren't destroyed, but like plumbing was destroyed. Everything. This goes into the farm. So we had to move out for a minute.
Real quick, where were you when this tornado hit? I have to know that.
I was upstairs asleep because like it just came. There was a lot of rain that night, but it came out of nowhere. And they still don't say it's a tornado. It was like more straight line winds, but there's just no way. Like the damage we had, there's just no way. It was like our whole house was moved. I was upstairs asleep. Justin was like, I got to go outside. I have to go check on the chicks because he wanted to close up their enclosure more. And I said, okay. And so he was actually outside when it happened. He had turned like the corner of our house and it hit us and he got under my car and he like got sucked up like underneath the undercarriage of my car.
Whitney, I cannot believe I have not heard this.
I was inside and I could just see the walls like billowing in and then it was over. So it was devastating to us. I was just starting to teach. And so honestly, I couldn't think of anything else to do. It was my first year teaching. Like I just had to go to school and teach. We had to rebuild, obviously. And we moved in. His grandparents lived in Amarillo at the time. And they're amazing. And actually, they're part of the story, too. His grandma grew up on a farm called Ely Acres. That's her maiden name in Missouri. And Justin used to spend the summers there. And that's essentially how he fell in love with farming. They had a small family farm and it was a true homestead. Mm-hmm. But we were done with them. And I was like, well, the farm's done, right? Like we have to rebuild our house. Like it's done. He didn't really want to give up on it. But I'll be honest, by that time, I was like, well, I'm done. So we need to find something else to do because we don't have a house anymore.
We laugh about it, but I'm sure you were traumatized.
Yeah, I was very traumatized. And again, like I said, I was teaching. It's your first year teaching. And teaching is such an intensive job that I really couldn't think about anything else. However, through this, Justin needed a job because the chickens weren't going to make us money right now because we couldn't process them. Our house was kind of in shambles. So he actually started subbing for the district. But it gave him the money to rebuild. Subbing was the perfect opportunity because he could pick his days he wanted to sub. And then we could slowly refix our plumbing and stuff. But through that, we also earned enough money, extra side money, to build our own chicken facility. So God really worked in that and was like, hey, I know this is what you want to do, but this is how you're going to do it.
And you just pivoted, you know?
Yeah. We're like, well, that didn't work. So we built the processing facility and I don't remember how long it took, but we finally got that up and running. So it's just right behind our house. It's a little storage shed, basically. And he runs under a Texas exempt license and he can only process his own birds. So he can't bring anyone else's in. But also through that, he got an emergency certification for a teaching license. So he taught for Canyon for a year, and that really, that gave us the boost of income to get that built.
Good.
God's hand was in it himself, because did he go to school for teaching? No. Does he actually have a teaching certification? No. It was just an emergency one for just that year. And he was able to do that because of that nonprofit he's with.
Mm-hmm.
He teaches their wildlife classes.
The Ogallala Commons.
The Ogallala Commons. He teaches their wildlife, like their playa festivals. He has to go into Texas schools, and they teach those under Texas Teaks.
And that's spelled T-E-A-K-S, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. It might be something different now, but God has been in a lot of stuff just to get us to that point, like, because a lot of things had to build on one another. So we started the processing facility, and we did that for a few years, and it took a while to get up and going. And birds are hard. They're not very smart.
What kind of birds?
Chickens, poultry. So we had to figure out, like, which ones would work in our ecosystem, because the panhandle, it's not kind. It's dry. It's hot. Yes. We want to conserve as much water as possible. We don't have a lot of shade out here. I mean, we have a tree and that's it. So you have to be able to survive out here.
So which breed does the best in the panhandle?
So we've tried a lot. Right now, I think there's some Rhode Island crosses. We have like 500 behind our house.
That's interesting.
Yes, we have a few different ones.
All right, y'all, we're going to take a quick break, but make sure to come back and catch the rest of Whitney's story here on Ag Talk. Your story matters.
You might be asking yourself, so what makes Ag Women Connect different from all the other networking organizations out there in the U.S.? And I'll just say, I created this company around the thoughts and needs of women in agriculture. I've listened to them for the last 30 years, and hopefully we're solving the problem of what women really need in agriculture. So we do not discriminate, no matter what your role is in this industry. So we have women who are first generation farmers and ranchers, folks who are looking into homesteading and just learning about the agriculture industry. And then we also have 4th to 6th generation farmers and ranchers in our network. And then, you know, you think about all the women who are working at the universities that are doing agribusiness or agriscience. We have older generations. We have a lot of new and upcoming generations, including the 4-H and FFA ladies that are a part of this network. And so it's just really neat to just step back and look and see how we're all gathering and connecting and using our resources just to help each other and help agriculture thrive instead of survive. So that's the fun part, you know, it's just growing this industry together. We all have a great positive mindset. And so one of the things that I think that really sets us apart too is that we give massive recognition to our members. I know that one thing that women have a hard time with is just feeling validated, you know, just having a normal conversation with somebody who understands them. And so that's what we're all about. But also, goodness gracious, let's give these women who are out there doing amazing and important things in our agriculture industry, let's give them the recognition that they so very much well deserve. And so as a member, you're recognized on all of our social media platforms. You're recognized on our website. And also, we have a weekly newsletter that goes out as well. So just know that here at Ag Women Connect, we fully support you no matter what your role is in agriculture.
Before the break, Whitney was just giving us her background and how they got started today. Let's jump back in. I think she's going to let us know about which breeds of chickens that they raise for their processing facility in Texas.
Hey, so I don't have the chicken breed information just yet. So kind of back up, we started with the chickens. We got that facility up and going, and Justin really helped get the Canyon Farmers Market up and running and really revitalize that. He's very connected into like the local food scene, because we had to make a customer base, especially when you're out here on the outskirts of town, no one really wants to come to you and get things.
Right.
We helped start the Canyon Farmers Market and got that really up and going and bring in some more producers so we could get that draw in of customers. With just the chickens, we found a really good customer base. We were able to have enough income to start with sheep. And so we found a breed called New Mexico Dall. The conquistadors brought them over and they survive on very minimal water. They love to eat tumbleweeds. Like they think they're treats.
Get out.
Yeah. So they love the tumbleweeds. They just survive. They're really hardy. It's a hardy breed. We've never had to doctor anyone at all. They're a hair sheep, but they look like wool sheep.
Mm-hmm.
They shed their hair for the summer. So we don't have to shave them. We don't have to trim any hair. So
even better.
Yeah. So they're really self-sustainable. We do have to like trim hooves, you know, just take care of them. We haven't ever had to pull a baby. They usually give us twins or triplets, which is awesome. So their conception rate is really high. And then what they give us, you know, we're getting double the amount of babies. We got in connection with a New Mexico Dall organization and we got to trade some like rams and, you know, trade some ewes and really help that like revitalize. So
that's important.
Yeah, it's really important. So we found those and we really liked those. And we were just getting like a couple butchered every now and then, but it was really hard to get into our butcher. But once we had those cut and ready to sell, they sold very, very quickly. The sheep did. And then we got into pork, and pigs they're not the most hardy animals. They can get like stressed out really easily. Just like sheep. But we started running Cooney Cooney pigs.
Okay. I've never heard of Cooney Cooney pigs.
Yeah. I think they're actually from, don't quote me on it. I think they're from Australia, that kind of area. A lot of people have them now. They're super hardy. They have great babies. They're great mamas. We found a lady that was close to us here in Amarillo that raised some of them. And so Justin just started, he basically started collecting these coonies to find like what genetic he wanted to get the best breed possible. We've had the coonies, I want to say 5 years now. And they've been awesome. Their meat doesn't have a tang to it, like a boar.
Right.
But it's a red meat. So it's not a white meat. Hmm. It's a red meat. It like if you see it in the package and you don't see like, oh, it says pork on it, it actually looks like steak. But we feed those out they are soy and corn free. So there's a lot of like health benefits to them. And a lot of people that can't tolerate normal pork can tolerate our pork because there's no soy, there's no corn fed to them. So
this is fascinating to me.
Yeah. So that's why we do that breed. They don't get huge like another production size breed does. Mm-hmm. We don't get as much out of them, but what we do get is very, very high quality meat. It's a red meat and you can cook it actually to the more rare side. You don't have to kill all the bad stuff in it.
Huh. So, I'm going to have to get some from you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff. I'm not a huge fan of pork. The flavor is so intense. I can only take so much of it. I'm more of a beef girl and I really like our lamb, but yeah, our pork's great. So yeah, we'd never keep pork in stock at all when we got it butchered. And so then we were really starting to get some traction. The chickens were bringing in a great little income for us. However, we couldn't raise them year round. And when we tried, we just didn't have the facilities to raise them year round. Our winters, when there is winter, it's so harsh. We just couldn't keep up with it. You know, through those 5 years, man, we had floods. Like you said, we would just have to like pivot. It was just day by day. Like, okay, what do we need to do now? Okay, what do we need to do now?
Floods, tornadoes, drought.
Yeah.
All of the above.
Yeah. Crazy snowstorms. So
yes, ice storms.
So then about 3 years ago, Justin's dad, who has cattle, really started to take notice. And he was like, hey, so you know, they kind of broke down the finances and he was like, what about beef? Mm-hmm. And so about 3 years ago, we started beef at the Canyon Farmers Market. And of course, it was a big hit. But you have to understand too, we had a pretty loyal customer base by then.
Right. And this was before the trend and people started homesteading. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, through the droughts, through the rain, through the snowstorms, through the tornadoes, we had to keep moving because we weren't really welcomed in the community. Not that our food wasn't welcomed, but the ag community, Justin's thinking was so out of the box about how, like, we just want the animals and the soil to work together. Sure. And we don't mix our animals as much anymore because we have too many of them. But like, we would mix our pork and our sheep because they could coexist in the chickens. But it was such like out there, and it doesn't, as I'm saying it, it sounds so funny to say it was out there thinking because it's not out there thinking anymore. But
because y'all set that path. I mean, you were the ones that were brave enough in that area to figure it out.
And you know, there was a lot of people that, you know, were already selling like, oh, my friend wants a whole beef. Yeah, take this to the processor kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it just wasn't the same mindset. And we actually lost a lot of friends because of it. We both have friends that are in like the big ag industry, which is fine. You know, they're big traditional farmers and we need those because we can't feed the whole world. But they didn't really understand what we were doing. They thought we were kind of going against traditional ag and be like, oh, look, everything's organic and it's better for you. And that's not what we were trying to do at all. Yeah, we would say like, oh, like none of our animals have antibiotics. We don't treat any of them because that's what we chose to do. So they would work better for our operation.
Yeah.
So that was really eye-opening. It was before homesteading was cool. It was before it was like all over Instagram. It was before it was like basically widely accepted. And before the lifestyle was accepted, because no, we were living off my teacher's salary. Really what we were doing was building a dream and we knew it eventually would pay off. So to a lot of people, they're just like, why? And a lot of people thought we were just going against traditional ag and we weren't. We were really trying to bring back traditional ag, like true traditional homestead, family farm.
What our ancestors were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really hard. It was really interesting. It was hard to explain to people like, no, we're not trying to take anyone's job. We're not trying to compete against each other. We're just doing this because Justin wants to produce food, but we didn't grow up in a family farm. So we don't have sections upon sections to farm. We have to figure out to do it in this 4 acres that his parents were generous enough to be like, yeah, y'all can do what you need to do on it, you know?
Yeah.
So we really had to figure out like how to do that.
You're very smart on how you use your resources.
Right. And even that, you know, a lot of it was so much trial and error. Mm-hmm. Because we're only on 4 acres right now, we have a lot of like sacrifice land, like the land out behind us. There's still some out behind us that's beautiful, but directly behind us, it's just dirt because our animals are there right now and it's not beautiful. Okay. It's the land that we have right now to work with, but the land around it, you know, we're planting cover crops and trying all the other stuff to revitalize that soil. So That's a lot too. People come out here and we're like, well, it's not that pretty. Well, no, because it's a true working farm. Like, and we have such limited resources that, and I had to get over it as a wife, just to be like, no, don't throw that away. I might need it. And I'm like, but it's literal trash. Like it's trash, right? He's like, no, I'm going to need it for this. So we had to be really smart about our resources and what we have. So yeah, it was hard not being welcome into like the ag community. So,
well, but I saw you flourish. So Whitney and I and another gal from that area went to the Canadian Hemp Hill Beef Conference last month, and that we had an amazing time. And Whitney had all of the beef jerky, so it was kind of it was kind of comical. So she had the beef jerky, and we also had our booths right by all the beverages and beer. And like Whitney was talking the whole entire time for 2 days. I mean, they just kept stopping by. And what's cool is I heard several times, just sitting back and watching her, that a lot of people knew about you that you didn't even know.
Yeah. So that's been really interesting. Okay. So we lost some friends, but there's a lot of people that are watching, more specifically Justin, really closely.
Mm-hmm.
He has come out to everything as like a scientific point of view, because he's a scientist. There's no emotions. And yes, he loves it. It's his passion. But there's like, he's like, well, I'm not going to pick this breed of chicken because it's beautiful. I got a text back from him. We run heritage, like they're just a heritage breed mix.
Okay.
So it's like the hardiest heritage breeds all mixed together. So, but he comes at everything as a scientific point of view. So once people start talking to him and he's like, this is why we're doing it, they're so much more open and they're like, oh, that's cool. Like, I want to watch that. So that's been really interesting. There's a lot of people that are watching us very closely. So that's been fun. And that's what makes the people that aren't so inviting. You're like, no, but other people are. Other people want us here and they root for us.
Yeah. I could definitely see that just in those 2 days.
Yeah, it was awesome. So we started with beef. We started partnering with Justin's father, Trammell Cattle, about 3 years ago. It might even be 4 years by now. And we started partnering with him with beef. And then COVID hit. And COVID, we had to pivot because we really started to get a good customer base that really enjoyed our beef. But we couldn't get it into them anymore because the processor that we were using was just so, so booked out. So we were really to a point where, like, Justin was going to have to find something else to do. His dad said, well, I mean, it's the point where we got to go big or go home. So why don't we just process our own? So COVID hit 2020. I started the blueprints and building our own meat processing facility. It's right here where we live. Everything is on the farm. So I can see the processing facility from my window. So we started that. Construction, as everyone knows, takes longer than you think it's going to take. And everything was still backed up because of COVID.
Yeah.
Everything was still backed up. And then I was going to teach one more year just to kind of, like, while we were building, I was going to teach one more year. And then I found out I was pregnant with my youngest, Rin. So we're like, well, what do we want to do here? So we took a huge leap of faith, and I started staying home with Rin as we were. So I stayed home with Heston, our oldest, and Rin as we were building the facility. And that was just really, it was really an intense time. Along with Justin's family, we built the facility, and Justin was in charge of the HACCP and like the rules and the laws and the regulations. And there is not a book out there that says, hey, this is how you build this. The state
there is no blueprint.
There's no blueprint. There's no book. And there's a lot of people that will sell you HACCP plans for like $100,000. But it's like an outline of it. And you have to fill in your own stuff. And it has to go with the blueprints. Like it's a whole thing. So Justin buckled down for over a year and just studied every single law there is to study about a processing facility. And it was a really, really intense time for us. But he figured it out. But he's also figured out how to ask questions through everything we've done, especially with our health department. Our health department's actually a bi-county health department. So Randall County doesn't have their own. We have to go with Potter County. Mm-hmm. And he has had really to learn how to work with those officials. And if someone tells you no, you can't take no for an answer. You have to say, okay, you said no, but why is it a no?
Like, right.
Why? So that's how we were able to get like our HACCP done and all of our laws figured out, because someone would tell them, well, you can't do that. You'd have to say, well, why can't I do it? And where is it?
Right. Hold that thought real quick, yeah. Whitney. I love what you said. You got to be really good about learning how to ask and what questions to ask. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with Whitney on today's show. And then we'll also open up the conversation for our guests to ask her some questions. So we'll see you here in a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. What is, Whitney, I couldn't catch exactly like the right word that you were saying. I can't say it properly. The program, it starts with the H. What is it called?
HACCP.
HACCP.
H-C-A-P, I think. HACCP.
Okay.
I can get the right wording for you and then send it to you. But it's HACCP.
Okay.
So I have no idea what it stands for, but it's basically their safety. Okay. So like all their safety plans, all their, what's it called?
Like OSHA.
Yes, the regulations.
Yes, all the regulations are all in the same. So,
okay.
So we got the processing facility. It was built. It was ready to go. We had our inspector come out and they were going to inspect the building. We failed big time. Not just like you need to change this, but like, no, the whole thing, basically the whole thing's trash. You got to shut it down. Like you can't open. And so we were like, well, that's not great. It was really disheartening. It really like ensued some panic in us because a lot of sacrifice went into building this, a lot of money, a lot of loans, a lot of heart, sweat, and tears, literal tears went into this. And so that didn't start out good. So let's see, we've been open just under a year. So January 22, we opened. So that would have been, I was pregnant with Ren still. So August of 21. Mm-hmm. So sometime in there, we had that first inspection and that we failed. And it wasn't, you know, Justin said when our inspector came in, he could tell like, oh yeah, we failed before he even walked in. That's okay. A lot of things with that, you'll fail the first time. With our chicken facility, we actually failed the first time because you have to fix a few things. Like, you know, they're doing their job saying like, oh, we can't pass you that. Fix a couple of these things. And so we did and we were fine. But since he had this training on how to deal with officials, he said, okay, send me everything that we failed on and we're going to fix it. Like we didn't have a choice. We had to fix it.
Yeah.
So we eventually got our documents that say like, this is everything that you failed on. And he went piece by piece and said, okay, this law or this reg we failed on, and this is how we fixed it. And this reg we failed on, this is how I fixed it. And he made a huge document going, okay, this is what we failed on. And this is exactly how we fixed it and what it's fixed with. And, you know, I don't want to go too much into the state side of it because there are a lot of people that were really on our side with it. But long story short, we finally got them back to us right before Christmas.
So it took almost a year for everything?
Yeah. So that was like August-ish that we failed.
Oh, okay.
August, September. And then we finally got them back the 1st of January. They came.
Okay.
Or like maybe the very, very end of December. It was right after Christmas.
Okay.
They came and did another one. And luckily we passed that one, but a lot of that was attributed to like, hey, this is exactly what you said we failed on. And this is exactly how we fixed it. And it's exactly within the law now. So we really had to fight for ourselves and cover ourselves which honestly, yes, everyone should have to do because you want everything up to standards.
Right.
But then that didn't give anyone any wiggle room to be like, oh no, that's not quite right anymore. And they're like, no. You said like we did everything. So that was something that he has really learned how to do and, you know, really advocate for yourself. That's advocating for yourself. Mm-hmm. So we passed. And so we've been open just over a year now. So, and it's, you know, we've had growing pains. We've had, you know, everything will break when it's the worst time for it to break. But where we are now is we have a little storefront too called Rancher Storefront, and that carries all of our beef, pork, and lamb. And we partnered with other local producers to get their produce inside the store as well. So everything there is local, which is just like a dream come true. You know, we have everything from, meat. We have a little bit of eggs right now because it's from our farm, and we have produce and we have dairy and spices that are all local and flour. Oh my gosh, the flour was a big win. So we got to partner with Grandview Granary in Groom, Texas.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so we have cool. flour, so it's awesome.
And is it the flour that is not like over processed?
Yes, it's not over processed. There's none of the nutrients are taken out. It is pure ground whole wheat flour.
I'm totally getting some of that.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's super nutrient dense. I mean, dense. A lot of recipes, I use like half of what they call for just because her flour is so nutrient dense. So yeah, so we have the little storefront now, and the farm is still going. We'll always be Tierboon Farm, but the processing facility is just an extension of us now. And it's helped. It's just a path to get us more meat to more people. And to really help other small producers. There's more room than just one small producer in this area. And we didn't start out, I mean, we always wanted to help small producers, but we've really kind of become like a craft butchery for mm-hmm. these small producers, that we can really, really help them and guide them and say, yes, okay, yeah, you want, okay, bring your beef in. Okay, what do you want done with your beef? And really be able to specialty butcher those beef, lamb, and pork for them. We've gotten into bison now. So we're processing a lot of bison. We've done some yak. So we're really like open to trying. Like, oh, yeah. There's some meat you want to sell? Yes, we'll process it for you. We will figure out how to get the right labels on it. We'll make sure to get this done for you. Because it's really just our passion.
Yeah.
So we dry age everything 21 days, which is different than other small facilities don't always dry age everything that long, but this is meat that you have raised and you have cared for and you've put a lot of money into. And so we want to give you the best possible product. Our pork and lamb, they age about 7 days and they don't need as long as aging.
Well, I know your heart's in the right place just from meeting Whitney earlier this fall. Like, she was the sweetest person and she has the sweetest voice. And I just love how y'all are working this together and how you're just taking your trials and adversities, but bringing that to light and being open about it. I love that. And there needs to be more people out there like that.
And that's one of the things too, you know, this, it's a small processor, but in order for, I mean, eventually like our dream is for Justin and my father-in-law to farm and ranch full time again, you know?
Yeah.
But in order to do that, we have to have a very good, solid employee base. And so we have chosen to pour into those employees and, you know, give them a living wage and really so that they enjoy being there. And so that it's just a really good, like, giving back to that community, you know?
Right. Yeah. So
that's something too, that was, we had to figure out who wanted to be here. And so that's been hard, but it's been fun. You know, it's so rewarding. The things are so hard, but when I can walk into the cut room with my 1-year-old and everyone stops what they're doing and waves and says hi to him.
Yes.
Like, that is just, oh my gosh. Like, it makes me so emotional. Like, we've put in so many blood, sweat, and tears, and there's still blood, sweat, and tears that go into this because it is such a new business. But that right there is like, yes. Not only are we giving back to our community, but like, we're building a legacy.
Yeah.
And so that's been really awesome. Those people are absolutely irreplaceable.
Yes.
And they're like family to us. And so like Heston, my oldest, he's like, let's go see Ben. Where's Ben? Ben's not here today. I'm like, no, Ben's not here today. Or, oh, he's in the back. So, you know, they've become like a family to us. And that's something I never expected to have, but it's just been really neat. So
I'm so glad you recognized your employees, because this is probably the third time I've heard you say something about your employees. And that's good. I don't think, especially considering what they do.
Yeah.
It's not the prettiest job, but kudos for you. I know they love working for you.
Well, and I can't take all the credit. Mostly I'm there. I bring cookies on birthdays and I'm there with the kids sometimes, but really, I mean, my father-in-law and Justin, they're the one, like, it's them, you know? So, and my mother-in-law, she's there a lot too. And she's awesome. And she makes sure they're taken care of. And yeah. So
it really does take a village.
Yes, it does, for sure. So,
well, guys, I want to open this conversation up. We've got a few people on the line today. And so feel free to ask Whitney any questions.
Hey, Whitney.
Hey.
So since you kind of got thrown into this, I have two questions for you.
Okay.
One, is there anything that you would have done differently? And two, how would you counsel or advise a young person who is trying to get into the agricultural industry, like fresh out of high school, college, knowing what you've gone through? Because it wasn't where you started. It wasn't like your original background. So with your trials and tribulations, like, what would you say to them?
Yeah, those are great questions. So I really was just kind of thrust into the life. You know, I really, Vanessa can attest to this. I really feel like I have my feet on the ground now. This is the second year I've been out of teaching, and I've really like immersed myself into the farm, into the processing facility. So I just, right now, I feel like I finally have, like, I know what's going on. Like, I didn't even really know what chicken, I knew they were a heritage breed, but I thought they had a different name. I think I might've like paid more attention to it. My life was just, I felt so chaotic, and we had new babies. I really let everything go on in the background for it. And also, I would have liked to look back and been like, oh, I had so much faith in it. Agriculture is such a hard industry, and it is so lonely that there's so many times where I was like, well, can we just be done now? Like, I mean, there's some farmers markets where we didn't sell a thing. And I was like, can we just like not do this anymore? However, I look back now and God would just like be like, oh, actually, you still need to keep on this path. Let's open this other door, you know? So there are so many, I wish I could have just like trusted his plan more for us and stopped trying to honestly live up to society's expectations. Because yeah, now like this lifestyle is super cool. Like there's people that have millions of followers on Instagram because they live this lifestyle. Well, then it wasn't cool. So I just wish I could have been like, yes, I had all this faith for years that this would happen, you know, but that's just
being human.
Yeah. But however, bright side is now I can look back and be like, whoa. Okay. He opened that door and this door and this door. He closed that door, but then it made this door open. So that's something. People that want to get involved, they need to look up the Ogallala Commons and get on an internship with a farm. They're paid internships, or not even a farm, but I mean, there's all kinds of like ag industries that they can get involved in. And like AgWomen Connect, not everyone is on a farm that's part of this, but they're connected in agriculture in some way. And so the Ogallala, they have other internships than just farms. Anything you can think of that's in a small community, you can have an internship for. So yeah, and just ask. We've had some, you know, a couple of high school kids that have come out and helped Justin butcher chickens, do some farm work. And then, oh my gosh, there's so many resources out there podcast-wise now. And there's so many people on those that they're open and honest about their struggles. And so yeah, just really doing your research and listening and find someone that your values align with and see what they're doing and ask them like, oh, what kind of mistakes did you make? Because we've made so many mistakes that I wish we could go back and fix. However, I also don't wish that because, you know, when you know better, you do better. And if we hadn't made a certain mistake, we wouldn't know better to not do that anymore. You know, whether it be from an investment or an equipment that we bought or an animal or maybe a bad call that we made for a customer, like, oh, we shouldn't have charged that much, or oh, we messed up on that, we should have fixed it like this, you know. So and that's something I want to talk about too with the AgWomen Connect. I really wanted to hit on, when I got contacted to join an AgWomen Connect meeting, I did not want to go. I was really hesitant because I have not been welcomed in the ag industry, especially by females. It's been a very hostile environment. Since I didn't grow up like in big ag industry, that was the first reason I wasn't welcome. And two, because they just didn't agree with what we were doing. And so I really didn't want to go, but I went. And the first person I really connected to was Julie Gibson, who's also part of our Amarillo ag community. And she was, and also Vanessa, but I really didn't get to know Vanessa until, you know, until after we really started the Amarillo one. And they were just so open to what we were doing, and they were kind about it, and they asked questions that weren't like, I gotcha questions. They were more like, we just want to know more. That's so cool. And yeah, we want to connect, and we want to see you succeed. And that was powerful. It made me feel not so alone in this ag community that I did feel so alone in. Because there's something that's different about me is I live on my in-law's land. So I have my in-laws about 100 yards away from my house, and they are literally the most amazing people ever. And I couldn't have raised two babies without them and their support in doing all this. But it does get lonely for me here sometimes because I am part of the family, but I'm a married in part of the family, you know? And right. So sometimes you can still feel like an outsider. You're like, oh, I don't know anything, you know? And so having other people in the ag industry that I can also bring in to this little family of ours has just been, I mean, it's just irreplaceable. It's something I really needed. And, you know, when I met with Julie the other night for her birthday, and she opened up her pickup and just dirt and stuff fell out of it. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, this is what my car looks like too. And it just like, just having those simple connections.
Yeah.
The people that aren't, they're there to cheer you on and not judge you. I was like, and she knows it. Like my husband and my father-in-law were in a really intense ag conversation. And I was like, yeah, we just need to let them be. We can go. And she was like, oh yeah. And she just understood what was happening in my life. And that was just so big. That was so huge for me. It's just awesome. It's awesome to have that connection with other women that are there to see you and want to see you and want to see you succeed. So that's big. Because it hasn't always been welcoming. So
yeah.
Yeah. Julie's great.
Yeah.
We love Julie.
That Amarillo chapter is a strong group of women, and it just keeps growing. I'm very impressed with y'all's leadership.
Oh yeah. It was awesome. And I met someone the other night that she hasn't been welcomed in the ag community either. She does some more nonprofit kind of work for it and really kind of goes against big ag. And Justin's been doing some lobbying in Austin against some big ag bills to more support local food. And we immediately connected, and she was like, so what are those meetings like? And I was like, it is this. It is just connecting. And she was like, yes, I'm coming. So
well, thank awesome. You. Thank you for showing up for yourself and being brave enough to do that. Yeah. Well, this was an amazing interview. I know that I learned a lot, and I've been talking to Whitney for months. So Whitney, thank you again for coming on the show today. And honestly, y'all have had so much growth just in the last few years. I can only imagine what it's going to be like in the next year, 5 years for y'all. And we'll have you back on to talk about that success.
Yeah, thank you. I can't wait.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of Ag Talk, Your Story Matters. Make sure to tune in every Tuesday for new episodes and learn more about us and our mission at agwomenconnect.com. You can find us on all major social media platforms, and we can't wait to share your ag story. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Ag Talk. Your story matters. Make sure to tune in every Tuesday for new episodes and learn more about us and our mission at agwomenconnect.com. You can find us on all major social media platforms, and we can't wait to share your ag story.